Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this will be episode 2 in our series, now titled The Four Big How-To's. So in the series, we're talking about, first of all, how to talk to sellers about creative financing. In this episode, we'll be talking about how to talk to agents about creative financing. So it's a little different, but it's kind of the same approach in essence. So let's dive in, Jeff.
So when we're talking with agents, there's a couple of things that you should understand right off the bat. So one, if you're dealing in a really hot market and you are approaching an agent about creative financing, that you got to know that you may have a bit of an uphill battle, and because they may not fully understand it, and they don't think they need to even hear you out because the market's so good and they'll sell this property, and that may be the case. So one of the things that you need to do is get their attention quickly. And we deal with lots of agents, right, for creative financing. However, most of the agents that we deal with are commercial agents. So what we talk creative financing with commercial agents daily. On residential or small multifamily, nowhere near as much. And here's the reason why, is that in our next episode, I believe it'll be where we talk more about down payment, mm-hmm. that when you're dealing with a realtor, that down payment, you know, that's going to, a portion of that is going to the real estate, the realtor's commission. And so you can assume 2.5-3% right off the top is going toward commissions. You still have some closing costs. And if we're trying to keep our down payment pretty low, that it's going to put us in a tough spot right from the start.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Yeah. So that's the one negative with dealing with it. Now, if you're dealing with rental property where, hey, we can really pay 10% because we're going to try to collect 15, 17, 18% down. Got a lot more room to work with. On a residential where we might be catering to an owner occupant and hoping to get 10% down, shooting to get 10% down. If you've already committed 3% and the seller hasn't gotten any money yet, there's only so much money you can still offer. So that is the one negative with dealing with offering creative financing through a realtor.
Yeah. And agents, their biggest concern is how are they going to get paid?
Yeah. So that's a great point. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is certainly going to be one of the things I let them know right up front. So here's a couple of things. So if Jonathan, if you had a listing, and I actually just did this like last week, I am trying to find a property to live in, and I am trying to create financing with a seller. So I called up an agent, and this property had been on the market a few weeks, which in our market is, hey, something's not right with it, right? Because things don't last a few weeks right now.
They last a couple days.
Right. So I called up and I said, hey, I saw your listing on such and such. Is that still available? He said, yes. I said, I'd be really interested in it. Do you think that your seller would be open to some creative financing or terms offers? And he happened to know what that meant. And I said, before you even answer, I realized that, you know, that we're in a hot market and, you know, you could probably reduce the price a bit and, you know, get this done, but I might be able to pay more for the property than what you're going to end up. So the seller will net more for the property. I said, too, I can make sure that you will get paid your commission at, you know, upfront at the time of the closing rather than waiting. And three, I don't necessarily need another realtor involved. So that potentially is more money to the seller, more of a net, right? Because this property is listed, that they assume that, you know, there'll be two agents involved and they'll split 5 or 6%. So I'm approaching him without an agent. I'm letting him know that there's more money that can go to the seller. I'm letting him know that he's going to get paid up front and that, you know, the seller could net more with me than, you know, taking it on the open market and getting cashed out.
Yeah.
And based on that, he said, yes. I know I have approached the seller about this before. She wasn't totally on board, but do you have some ideas of what you would put together? And I said, yes, why don't I do this? Let me put together a letter of intent. I'll put together a few different options and let's see if any one of those options gets the seller's attention. We can go from there. He said, that's great. And I said, let me ask you just a couple of quick questions that'll help me in putting together the offer. Okay, great. Well, what are your questions? Do you know, is the property free and clear or is there any debt still owed on it? No, property's free and clear. That's always a bonus because if he would have said that there's debt on it, most likely when I ask him how much, he probably won't know. And then I'd probably want to know what the monthly payment is, right? So that's one of the negatives of going through a realtor is that they don't always know what the underlying debt looks like. They may have a ballpark, but when we get to the monthly payment, they literally have no idea. So I might say, look, I'll take a stab at it based on, you know, the numbers you gave me. Just know we may have to modify it once we verify some information. No big deal. I'd much rather have that information if I can get it, but sometimes you just can't get it.
Yeah.
So if you go back and you look at how this conversation went, and I've done this a number of times with agents, and there will be agents that say, hey, I don't think the seller would be interested. And I said, hey, no problem. Just one last question. You don't think the seller would be interested because they don't want to make more money on their property or they don't want to defer their taxes for a period of time? Well, why is it that you think that they would not be interested? And then they'll probably tell me, look, the seller's looking at taking all their money and putting it down on a new property, or the seller's planning on doing a 1031 exchange and want to be able to move all their money to the next property. And then I would say, okay, that's understandable. I get it. One of the other questions could be that comes back to me when I offer owner finance is, what would the down payment be? And again, I'm going to say, look, I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but obviously we're going to try to get in light. Any feel for, you know, does the seller need this money right now? Would it make more sense for the seller to get better cash flow, or does the seller need a bigger down payment?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
and did you hear, I said light, I didn't say like I want to get in with no money or
as little as possible.
Yeah. I already know I've got to bring enough money for the seller to, at the very least, pay the real estate commission and closing costs.
So I like what you asked about, well, the question that you had posed to the agent, is there a reason this would not work for your client? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you ask them, hey, is your client open to terms? If so, you know, why would it not work, you know, for them? And, you know, of course, if they're doing a 1031 exchange or they need that money for a down payment for the next house, that probably doesn't work. But any other scenario, it may work.
I would say something, it depends on your situation, your market, whatever. But in this case, you know, everyone really realizes there's very little inventory here, and that most properties, if they're, and they don't even necessarily need to be priced right? They're moving. They're going under contract in 24, 48 hours. This has had a $10,000 price drop and has probably been on the market three and a half weeks. It's not getting as much exposure, right? So I might say, well, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the property hasn't sold yet? And I could ask that question in really any kind of market, but I'm asking it specifically in this market because there seems to be a problem, right? The problem being that, hey, it's on a busier street, or hey, it needs to be completely remodeled, and they're asking too much for what it is. But that's really not stopping a lot of other people in this market from getting their price. So what do you think the problem is for why it hasn't sold yet? And you know, I want the agent one to be on my side. I want the agent to go to bat for me, right? So I'm basically selling myself and what I am offering to the seller so that he can go to the seller and say, I think you need to really consider this offer. And so I want to plant some seeds. And those seeds might be that, hey, you know, your seller is going to net a lot more money with me than if she sells it outright. And, you know, again, I don't need to bring in another realtor. We can save the seller 3%. This is a $500,000 home. You know, you're saving the seller 15 grand right there. So there are seeds that I want to plant because I don't get to talk to the seller direct. We don't get to hear in the seller's voice if this is something that could really work for her. What I need to do is convince the agent that this is a good thing for his seller and to go back and pitch it and sell her on it.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, you and I have talked about this subject before, how to talk to agents. And one thing we always said is if you don't think that the agent can explain how the offer works, it's best that you ask the agent if you can speak with their client together so that you can explain it. Because if the agent does a terrible job explaining how it works, or you know, maybe the agent doesn't even know how it's going to work, their client's probably going to say no, right?
Yeah.
So that's always something you should consider. And maybe it's worth asking the agent, do you understand this offer? If so, can you explain it to me? I haven't really talked to agents about creative financing, so you got way more experience than I. But have you asked that have you asked that of an agent? Hey, do you understand how this works? And can you explain it to me?
So I don't talk to agents a whole lot. And if I'm going to be, it's going to mostly be a commercial agent. But I certainly have acquisition people, apprentices, all kinds of people that I'm associated with that are talking to agents. So what I would do is I would try to gauge based on their response to me is, you know, how much do they understand about what I'm talking about here? So it was very clear when I made this offer the other day that the agent did understand terms. He's like, yes, I've talked to her about it before. And I said, look, I might be able to come up with some different kinds of things that maybe we can find one that'll work for. And so he's like, yes, but why don't you put together, he thought, wow, he even commented on my LOI. He's like, I really like how you wrote this out. You made it very simple to understand. And you put in the amount of what she would net. And I put that in bold because I want that to stick out to the seller, right? If she's asking $490 for this property, but she can make $598,000 over, 6 years or something like that, I want her to see that. If she doesn't need this money right now, then what is she going to do with it? Put it in the bank, make a percent if she's lucky. So here's a great way to keep it in the property and allow it to keep making her money.
Yep. And that's a great, you've always been good at keeping your LOI simple, and you always show the seller what they net, because I mean, ultimately that's what they want to know. They want, what's the bottom line here, right? Why should I choose this offer, and how much more money am I going to make by doing it? So
I keep tweaking my LOI because based on questions that we tend to get, as far as feedback from the sellers, I want there to be less questions. Yeah, I want the LOI to answer questions, not create new questions. And I want it to be simple. Someone asked me the other day, Jeff, explain your simple interest to me. And I thought, oh no, this is a seller asking me this. He's like, I've tried to figure this out, but I can't for the life of me figure it out. And I said, simple interest probably is not a good term for it. It probably should be called a hybrid interest rate. And I said, it's kind of in the middle of being principal only and an amortized interest rate. So now I want to figure out a way to try to simplify that. So, I mean, granted, this is the first time in probably 500, sending out 500 or so LOIs, maybe more than that, I don't know, 1,000. Where someone's come back and asked a specific question about the hybrid interest rate. So if I got another question or two about it, I'd probably start trying to figure out ways to rewrite it so that it keeps it super simple. But I want to be super simple to the agent. I want to convey all the positives. I want the agent to be on my side, to go to bat for me and try to get this done. And I want the agent to go sell his client on what I am offering. If I'm not, I'm fighting an uphill battle. If the agent's against me, doesn't think that, this is going to work, doesn't like this idea, doesn't understand it, then you should know, probably not going to get accepted.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And just keeping it simple goes such a long way, right? Just so as long as your agent understands it, and they do think it's in their client's best interest, and which they have a fiduciary responsibility, then they have to present it to their client, and if they believe in you, they will sell it to their client. Like you said, you want them to sell it to their client. But for sure, guys, if you have an agent that doesn't understand what you're trying to do, then it's probably best to just move on, because they may not even pitch it to their client.
Certainly not going to pitch it in a light that
is positive.
And, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're looking out for them.
I would tell you that creative financing for sure works with listed properties, for sure. But you've got to ask yourself, what is the goal here? Well, why am I going after a particular listed property? So one that would make sense would be for your own property, right? You found some property on that's listed that you would like to own and live in. One might be that it would be a good rental or Airbnb. Okay. Both of those make perfect sense to me.
Right.
However, if you are looking at going and buying this on creative terms and then reselling it to an owner occupant, trying to stay in the middle, I think that you're going the wrong route here, because I'm not saying it's not possible. It is possible, but you're starting with the big negative is that we already know we're going to base decisions on getting 10% from our buyer. We're starting with 3% and we have not gotten the seller paid a penny yet. And we still want to get paid too up front. So I think those are the ones that, hey, go after the off-market deals for those types of properties. But if you found a good rental that would make sense, where you could structure terms where you get a good cash flow, and maybe a little more down payment, or a property that you would be interested in living in, I think those are great ones, or commercial, right? Or commercial. Those are great ones to go after. So understand what it is that your exit is. That way it'll help you determine where you want to try to go to find that deal.
Yeah. And that's a big point, definitely, because it would be a huge uphill battle trying to pitch something like that to a realtor or an agent that doesn't even like the idea to begin with. So,
well, the numbers are getting super tight right away. So
that's
the part that I think you've got to keep in mind. And, like I said, it's certainly possible to make the numbers work. And as there's more motivation in the market, they might work a little better. But as of right now, in most markets, the markets are strong. They're seller markets. Agents aren't going to be super open to creative financing to begin with. Either will sellers, for that matter. Although I will tell you this, and we should talk about this every single episode. We are still doing half of all our deals have some kind of creative financing component. In the hottest market of all time, and we work all across the country, and we get creative financing offers accepted everywhere. Tell me a state where you are that it doesn't work in. I'll tell you, we've had something under contract and accepted with creative financing.
Yep. Okay, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this content and hopefully you kind of have a better idea of how to approach agents about this and, you know, really get them on your side. So if you like this content, please, please, please go out there and rate and review our show. It really helps get the word out. So we need you to do that. So if you're listening to this, take your phone out right now and rate and review us if you love what we're putting out here. Again, that really helps us. And we got to continue to spread the word. So do that. Guys, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please email Rebecca and let her know you're interested in that. It's a wholesaling apprenticeship with a seller financing component.
Virtual
wholesaling. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you do this all across the nation.
That's correct.
So email Rebecca, that's REBECCA@weofferoptions.com. All of our episodes are at the creativefinancingpodcast.com. That's our archive. And if you guys are interested in getting special access to a video that Jeff put together on creating offers on a single family home and, you know, taking it through to its exit strategy and getting paid on the deal, text CFP or creative financing to 877-409-8090 to get access to that. And that'll kind of give you a taste of what the Creative Financing Academy is going to be all about. So definitely do that if you haven't already. And any last words, Jeff?
Yeah, help us build both our podcast by rating, reviewing, and sharing. And certainly join our Facebook group so we can help you a little more hands-on. Let's help you use creative financing in your business, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah, for sure. So till next time, guys, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.